Our reading today comes from John 5, verses 31 to 40, which you can find on page 1069 of the Red Bible. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favour, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose, for a time, to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Ali. And I just want to start by saying that for those of you who haven't got your Advent calendars, there is still time because, of course, today, although maybe Advent Sunday, it isn't actually the first day that you open the door of your Advent calendar. And so this is the opportunity for you to get a grip and to actually catch up with perhaps everybody else and get an Advent calendar. Advent, you know, is a bit of a mixed blessing in some ways. You know, you get to open Advent calendars. You might get chocolate even if you're lucky inside them. And then there's, of course, all the excitement of Christmas starting up. If you've been down to the Christmas market, the lights, the festivities. And, of course, there's nativity plays. One of the things that I love about this time of year is I get to see so many nativity plays, at least three. And then there's other things which I attend as well. And there's that great, great excitement. But it's a bit of a mixed blessing because I know some of you also realize, as you're sitting there, that there's a great long list of things which have to be done before Christmas. And that slow dawning realization of all those things you've got to do, and time is running out, and there's the cards, and there's the food, and there's the, and so on and so forth. And some of you, I know, just looking at you, you're looking as though you've got a bit of a panic-stricken look in your face already. And do you know what makes it worse? And that is sitting next to somebody who is quietly and smugly saying to themselves or to you at the moment, "I've done all that. I've done all that." Exactly. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, love one another." I'm sure he meant it to take place at Advent time when somebody smugly sitting next to you said, "I've done all that and I'm nearly ready now." And that is even before you knew that the mother-in-law is going to come and pay you a visit. Now that is seriously going to challenge you to love all men and women. Perhaps we ought to go back to the theme then on listening to Jesus, because actually that is what we're thinking about today, because listening to his word is listening to Jesus. You see, Jesus is the word, and Jesus is trying to explain that to his disciples. He's trying to make it absolutely clear as to which way things are going. And so as we start the new series, we're going to start by looking at some of the evidence for Jesus. And of course, as some of you know, that in a court, you would normally have at least two witnesses if there was somebody who was being tried and saying that they were innocent of a particular crime. And so Jesus, aware of that, and in fact in Jewish law it's very much the same, has got three witnesses bearing to him as being the word. Now, you might say, well, why three? He could have had a large number of more. One of the things that always strikes me at this time of year is he could have started by saying, well, don't you remember about my birth? There was a host of angels, however many that is, and then there was the star which moved, and there's kings which came, and they gave me these gifts and all the rest of it. I would have thought that would have been a pretty good witness to Jesus, but he doesn't mention that. And I think the reason he doesn't mention that is because the choice of witness has been deliberately designed to engage with his audience of the time and to be very, very authentic. So Jesus, in fact, starts by mentioning his cousin John. And of course, John, as we heard from last week, was imprisoned by Herod and eventually beheaded as a result of a drunken boast by Herod. And John, though, has always recognized Jesus right from the very beginning as being somebody who was better than him. And so, of course, John said, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals. John was also pointing to Jesus as the good news, while he was just the messenger pointing to Jesus. And he said, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out the grain, gather the wheat into his barns, and he will burn that chaff in a fire that never goes out. John knew that he had a large amount of popularity. Jesus knew that John had a great deal of popularity. People had flocked out to John in the desert. Maybe it was because there was something strange and something different about John. For example, he dressed in camel hair. His clothes were very strange. He ate wild locusts, and he had a wide leather belt around his waist. He was, I suppose, if we were to look at it in present day terms, he was a bit of a celebrity. And people flocked out to hear his words and to see who this strange man was. And many took his message seriously. They wanted to be baptized. They wanted to change their ways. And so Jesus, of course, is referring to the way that John has come as a messenger to point to the one who is coming after him. And Jesus is the one who is coming after him. In fact, it is quite clear in the gospel which says, God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell his people about the light so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell us about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. What a wonderful thing to think of today is how Jesus, the light of the world, as we light that Advent calendar candle, comes into the world to shine on all people. But maybe because John was Jesus's cousin, Jesus felt that he was not validated by John alone. And so Jesus then points to his second train of evidence and his second witness, and that is none other than God. God is a witness to Jesus. And Jesus himself says, I have a better witness than John. What I do, that is, the deeds my Father gave me to do, these speak on my behalf and show that my Father has sent me. Jesus is making it absolutely clear from the beginning that the things that he does do not come from his own personal power, but come because God has sent him. After all, only God could turn water into wine. Only God could cause the sick to be healed, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. Only God could cause the resurrection of the dead. Only God could cause storms to be calmed and thousands to be fed. And so it is quite clear that Jesus is there because of the will of God and because of the way in which God's power has presented himself through Jesus. All these actions, Jesus says, are witness to the fact that he is here on earth doing God's work. Remember, at one stage, the Pharisees tried to claim that Jesus must be evil. And they said, because he's doing all these strange miracles, he must be of the devil. But Jesus' answer was, these miracles are good, and no kingdom can be divided. And therefore, the reason that they are good shows that he must come from good, and therefore from God. So he is doing the work of God, and not that of the devil. Jesus' actions testify through God to his unique status. And the third witness that Jesus calls upon are the scriptures. The scriptures, of course, were honored and revered by the Jews. They spent many hours learning and discussing them. The position of the prophets and Abraham was assured, and the individuals that were revered by the Jews were taken very seriously. And yet, although they had seen all of this and had known for many years that a Messiah was coming, they did not recognize Jesus. John sums it up in the opening words of his gospel. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Those words that we often hear round the Christmas tide. And yet the scripture pointed so clearly to Jesus. Throughout the scriptures, there are studied references to the Messiah and to the way in which Jesus was going to come. For Isaiah 53, for example, there was nothing attractive about him, nothing that would draw us to him. We despised him and rejected him. He endured suffering and pain. No one would even look at him. We ignored him as if he were nothing. And throughout these scriptures, the Jews and others chose to learn them and then totally misinterpret them. As Jesus himself said, "You study the scriptures because you think that in them you will find eternal life. And these very scriptures speak about me, yet you are not willing to come to me in order to have life." What a warning to us as we listen to God's word, that we see to Jesus rather than the scriptures themselves. So Jesus proves through these three witnesses that what he says is true and that he is in fact from God. He is the Word of God. And that is what we celebrate at this Christmas time. The Christmas message is that Jesus is God come to the world. God communicates and reaches out to mankind through Jesus. And even in this day of visual images, when I'm told that more people watch YouTube at times than television, when we have got more and more ability to see things in visual form, the word still remains prime. Whether it is written or spoken, it is still the word which at the ultimate time is our means of communication. Without words, we cannot communicate. Without words, we are left frustrated. And so Jesus is the word. Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. You have never heard his voice or seen his face, says Jesus, when talking about God. He was there in the beginning and came into the world to show God's love. That's Jesus, there in the beginning. And John writes, the Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. Moses, of course, had the words of God in the commandments, although they had to get a second set, and we have the Word of God as a living individual, as Jesus, the unchanging, everlasting Alpha and Omega, before the beginning of the world and at the end of the world. John says, God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So Jesus came to give him, to give life. And it is that challenge which we see at this time. Do you recognize him? And are you listening to him? I grew up for a short period of my life in the west of Ireland. And in the west of Ireland, it is very poor, primitive farming, small farms, about 40 acres maximum. And they depended, and still do in some of the areas, a lot on donkeys. And the idea was that the donkeys were used to bring in the hay, carry the peat or the turf. And unfortunately, donkeys have a great habit of wandering off and going their own way. And many of them live on the roadside. And sometimes when they particularly take the habit of sitting down at night in the road, you can find that you come around the corner and see a donkey sitting in the road. And there are various friends of mine who have got cars bent to show that donkeys and cars don't meet well at night when one is sitting on the road. Last summer, just past, Jill and I visited Ireland again, and we were amazed to see how many donkeys are still wandering the roads and sitting on the roads. But in the days when I grew up, the donkeys were really used for the labour. And one day, our local farmer and us, we went to the stable to get the donkey out, to bring in the hay, and looked in, and it was gone. There then followed a great search. We cycled, we drove miles, checking the roads and the verges. Where could this donkey have gone? We went up the mountains, everywhere. About 2 hours later, we returned. And then somebody walked into the stable and noticed, right in the darkest corner, hidden behind a byre, sitting totally peacefully and contently, was the donkey that we had been looking for. We never felt so foolish. But many times, you know, in life, we can spend our efforts rushing around, trying to find things, trying to get things, which are there all the time. So this Advent time, as you rush around, perhaps, to get the right turkey or the right decorations or to get your card signed or the other things that are so important, perhaps it's time to just listen. Listen to God. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his word. Maybe, as Tom said, this is the start of perhaps what could be a new Christmas experience for you. That you don't just do all the things you've always done before, but this time you actually take to the center the things that are really important. Life is not easy at times. You have to make lots of little decisions, and the combination of those little decisions ultimately ends up in your destination. So as you sit here and as you commune with God, do you recognize Jesus as the Son of God? And do you want to be part of listening to him and his will for your life as we go through this Advent time? Amen.